Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is the Ask Tall Paul radio show on the Blog Talk Network, and this is Tall Paul with our famous and most favorite guest star, Paul Wheaton.
Who's almost as tall, but I am the lesser tall.
Yes.
I thought I was tall until I met you.
Yes, Paul. We're both tall, Paul, but anyway. Paul Wheaton, welcome, welcome. We have a very important episode today. We're going to be talking about rocket mass heaters, and we think, well, gee, it's the summer. Why in the heck are we talking about heaters? It's because Paul Wheaton is a great permaculture designer where you have to live today, but you're planning for tomorrow. So you want the heater in before it gets cold, right?
That's usually a good idea.
All right. Now, also on permies.com, which everyone should be going to every day, you know, Paul's always talking. He's looking with his eye to the future, and he's saying, look, the snow's coming in 2 months, everybody. You know, so you have 2 months, basically, to get a lot of work done before it's too late.
Now, down there in San Diego, how worried are you about the snow?
Well, you know, I'm not too worried about the snow, but we are absolutely interested in the rocket mass heaters because it gets cold.
True. Yeah.
And I think everyone really can benefit not only from this episode, but I know that you have a new product. You have a 4-hour DVD set that's available and streaming the same videos. So we can talk about that at some point. But basically, on this episode, the details, there's a link to the rocket mass heater, which is on the richsoil.com website. And so you can click there. You can see some pictures and videos, a lot of very good information about what we're talking about today. So, Paul, rocket mass heaters, tell us what you want to say today.
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about what they are.
All right.
And so basically, this is a way of heating your home that uses one-tenth the wood that a conventional wood stove would use. But wait, there's more! And that is that you would think that it would then produce one-tenth the smoke, but it actually produces one-thousandth of the smoke. Now, what this translates into is a lot of people are probably thinking, oh, you know, wood heat, that's got to be like really old school and not very efficient. But actually, this is probably the most sustainable way to heat a conventional wood home. So if you think about it, what are all the different kinds of heat that people will use to heat their home? There's going to be electricity, and we all know about the environmental disaster that's on the other end of that wire. And then there's going to be natural gas, and so I think a lot of people are very concerned about fracking. Just even if there's not fracking with natural gas, the infrastructure that's involved to get it to your home and the expense. I'm really curious about what other forms of environmental disaster there are in the natural gas world, even if we can pretend for a moment that fracking doesn't even exist. And I think that it is one of those things where it's not as sustainable as we would like. So the key is that with the rocket mass heater, a lot of people have been heating their homes with nothing but the twigs that naturally fall off the trees in their yard. And there's one guy that heated his home one winter using nothing but junk mail. So it's a 3/4 of the electricity or of the energy that people use in their homes is for heat. And so when we start talking about how to solve our problems on a global scale, and the list of problems, being able to reduce home energy needs by 75% is a big leap. I mean, a lot of people start talking about those light bulbs, and that doesn't really do diddly. This is the real game changer, is being able to reduce your needs for heat.
Well, you're right. And the light bulbs, I love, you know, your research on the light bulbs and stuff. But in this one, you know, you have the a really great image of the combustion chamber, and it says your butt needs warming, go here. So it's more than just warming your butt, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. When we talk about warming your butt, the key is like, let's focus on the different kinds of heat. There are three kinds of heat. There's convective heat, which is what we typically use in America. This is where you heat air and you blow it around. Warm air comes to you, and then that warm air heats you. This is the least efficient form of heat. Then there's radiant heat. There's a hot thing over there, and I can feel the heat radiating off of it. The sun features radiant heat. And so we can feel the sun when we go out. When we're indoors, it feels all blah, and then you go outside, and then when the sun is right at you, you can feel one side of your body getting warm while the other side is not. But that's an extremely efficient form of heat. And the most efficient form of heat is conductive heat. And that's when you're effectively, and you can experience this with a rocket mass heater, typically the mass in a rocket mass heater is going to be formed into a bench. And you sit on the bench, and then it heats your core, which heats you. This is the most efficient form of heat. And so when we start to work within this system of working with more efficient forms of heat, then we're able to dramatically change things. Now, on the other hand, a rocket mass heater can also heat the air, which heats you. A rocket mass heater also dominantly does radiant heat. It's designed to be far more radiant heat than your conventional wood stove. And then on top of all of that, it offers, which, you know, some people use more than others. And I think a lot of homes, they'll just pass on this unless it's a cold winter day and they've been outside getting chilled to the bone, and then they can come and sign up for the conductive heat package. I'm going to sit right here just to really warm myself up for a moment. Kind of like when you've got a wood stove in your home, and even though the home is warm, somebody comes in from out of the cold, they want to stand next to the stove to warm themselves up a bit. They can get much warmer, much faster, if they sit on the bench for a moment. Did I answer your question, or am I off rambling in the woods somewhere?
No, you answered it for sure. Now, so this super highly efficient system for heat. Now, in the one video, you mentioned that it showed that it was connected to a hot water heater. So are there some systems that, or tell us how that was kind of set up?
Well, when it comes to heating water, rocket mass heaters can do this. And if you're going to do non-pressurized water, rocket mass heaters are very good at this. In fact, rocket stoves are amazing at heating water. A lot of people want to venture into this space of heating water that is pressurized, like in your house. And not a great place for the people that don't have a lot of experience. So in the 4-DVD set, which we did the Kickstarter for last March, and those videos have just come out, like they've come out so recently, I haven't even updated the article at richsoil.com to tell people how to get them. But I think you asked me for the links like 10 minutes ago, and I gave you the links, and you were telling me, okay, it's now on your page. So you actually have links before I do.
Yes. On this episode, there's a link to the, you know, how to buy the 4-DVD physical set. And then if you want to get the streaming set, you have to email Paul and do a PayPal thingamajig, and he'll get it out to you.
So we hope to optimize that process in 3 or 4 days for the streaming. But people have been sending me the PayPal stuff, and we've been getting them set up with streaming in the last day or so, and it's working great. But when it comes to heating hot water, our third DVD is called Boom Squish. The title kind of gives you an idea that this is a dangerous thing.
Ooh.
So when you start, I mean, remember in the old days, they used to have these locomotives that were powered by steam. I mean, steam is powerful, powerful stuff. And it's not something to be taken lightly. They had an episode of Mythbusters where they shorted something out on a hot water heater, on a conventional hot water heater, electric hot water heater. And then they plugged the pressure relief thing. And they put it into a conventionally built tiny house. And they waited until it exploded. The house was shredded, And they walked out from behind their safety thing and walked around, and on camera they're saying, wow, this is the biggest explosion we've ever had on the show.
Wow.
And they're wandering around, they're talking, and 20 seconds later they're like saying, I don't even see the water heater. Do you see it anywhere? And suddenly there's a big clang. It was airborne all that time.
Wow.
And it took that long until it came back down. I mean, that's just how powerful this is. And you got to know what you're doing or you will create an explosive thing, which is not good. I mean, you might not just kill yourself. You might kill other people. So basically, a full third of the third DVD is disclaimers.
Right.
All the different ways that you could die. And that you're probably going to die, and don't do this. And so the whole DVD is kind of like this whole thing of you can see that it can be done, but you know the risks. So it is something that's been done, and it can be done.
And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, it's best to be an informed do-it-yourselfer. So the DVD would help you to understand what those risks are and.
Right, and an idea of how it can go together.
Yeah.
And we've got a bunch of podcasts about Boom Squish, too, where we argue about different ways that you can go about doing that. But I think the interest in Boom Squish, people have shown the least interest in that one.
Yeah.
I think, of course, the most interest is in the second DVD, which is the one where we call it Sneaky Heat, and this is about rocket mass heaters. And in this particular DVD we have a new style and some new innovations that we're showing off. And it's kind of funny, Ernie and Erica were here at my house just a couple of days ago. We were getting ready to teach a rocket mass heater workshop here in Montana in October. We'll be teaching two workshops in October. And we're actually going to bring up yet another new innovation. And so we came up with this shippable core. But the cost of the shippable core was really high. It was going to be like $700 to $800 per person. And we've been trying to rework a bunch of things to get the price down and also improve a couple of other little things. So we've come up with a bunch of new innovations, and we're going to work those innovations into this workshop that's coming up in October. But they were here, and what was shown in the DVD is these ones that were shown last October. And that's where we're able to get the temperature so much higher than we've ever gotten it before. And it's a style of rocket mass heater that is designed. In fact, in the video, we built it in 44 minutes. And the idea is that we want it to be able to be disassembled and put onto a pickup truck in under an hour. And then you can take it from the pickup truck and reassemble it in under an hour. And it's got the primary component is what we call the shippable core. And the idea being is that the DIY level of most people is only yay high, whereas, I mean, there's a lot of people who have this amazing DIY level, like, I'm going to weld something. And other people, their DIY level is like, well, if it requires a screwdriver, I can do it.
Right.
So it's kind of like we wanted something where, because there's only about 100,000 rocket mass heaters that have been built to date, we estimate. And we would like that to enter more into the range of 100 million. And it's kind of like, well, what's the primary thing keeping that from happening? And we think it's the DIY level of what's required to build one of these. I mean, people have been building rocket mass heaters in their homes for like $20. They scrounge parts for like a year, and then they can put the whole thing together for $20. It usually takes about a weekend to put one of these together. And so we're kind of thinking like, there's a lot of people that are professionals and they want this, but they just don't have that level of DIY ability. So, but they've got money. And so it's like, it'd be great is to have a shippable core that costs like $300. And they pay the $300 and this core arrives. They put it into a wooden box, which is well within the DIY skills of most people. And the core goes in, the ducting goes in, and then they can fill it with pea gravel and rocks. And they're done. That's the whole thing.
So it'll be similar to the one video that, of you. It says, my first attempt at building a rocket mass heater without somebody to guide me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's from several years ago.
Yeah.
And it turns out that I had built lots of rocket mass heaters with Ernie and Erica and a few other people in the past, but they were in charge. And this particular one is like, I've got this idea for a whole different way of doing this. And when I was done with it, then Ernie and Erica were saying that it is amazing. So we've
great.
Got a podcast where I talk to them about it. And it's like, so now we're thinking like, this is going to be the new direction of rocket mass heaters. Because it's so much easier to build than the Cobb style, which has been built in the past. And so it's faster, it's cheaper, it's all these things, and it's got a different aesthetic. A lot of people really love the Cobb aesthetic, but a lot of people I think are not ready for a Cobb aesthetic. They want something that's more of a wood furniture kind of thing in their home. So that's what this offers. That's what the second DVD shows. The first DVD is called Fire Science, and whenever Ernie and Erica go and they teach one of these workshops, they start on Friday night at dusk, and then they do this three-hour fire science thing where they're burning fire in a variety of ways. Because on a rocket mass heater, and this is the prep work, the groundwork, you need to know how fire works in order to know how a rocket mass heater works. Because one of the bizarre things about a rocket mass heater is that you put the sticks in at the top, and the sticks stick out. And you think that if you're going to put a fire in there, your whole house is going to fill up with smoke and you're going to have a fire in your house. But what happens is that the air gets sucked in through the hole where the sticks are. The fire burns sideways, and then it goes up this little 3-foot tall super insulated chimney that we call the heat riser. So it's kind of like, the way the fire does all these things is so different from what we're used to in a wood stove. And so this fire science stuff is to help people to understand these bizarre things and to watch fire burn sideways or even upside down. And then we can then grab all this knowledge and use this knowledge in order to understand how to make a rocket mass heater. So that's the first DVD. The only DVD we haven't talked about yet is the last DVD, and that one's called Hot Rocket. And in that one, we just explore gobs of little bits and bobs in this area. So rocket stoves, which were the predecessor to the rocket mass heater. And this is the thing, what we're talking about, where it can heat water so fast. It's so amazing and bizarre at how fast it is. In fact, we took a turkey cooker, these propane turkey cookers, so that when you have Thanksgiving, there people will fill these with oil and they'll put a turkey inside, and you'll cook the entire turkey in like 40 minutes. And so basically you have deep fat fried turkey. And I don't know if you ever had that at Thanksgiving, but it is amazingly delicious.
Yeah, it's really good.
So we
and also very dangerous because it is so hot. Yeah.
Well, true. Yeah. So we took one of those, and we made sure to get two pots that were identical in every way, and we filled both of them halfway with water. And we put one on the turkey cooker, the propane turkey cooker, and turned it up to full blast. And this was, we shopped around to make sure that we got the most powerful turkey cooker that was available on the market. And so, it roars as it heats the water. It is, and we turned it up to full blast, full propane. And then next to it, we did a rocket mass, or not a rocket mass heater, a rocket stove with the exact same pot, also filled with halfway with water. And it's like ready, set, go. And we timed it. The rocket stove came in 3 minutes ahead of the turkey cooker.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were just using a few twigs. No propane involved. It's a great thing with twigs is that they're so much easier to store. I think I'll put my twigs here.
Well, and whereas, we even have twigs where I live. I mean, where you live, there's plenty of twigs and bigger, but here we, you know, we're short on trees.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, even here, in fact, about a month ago, we had a rocket stove demonstration at our site, and it was incredible to see. We didn't do your experiment, but it was, you know, something similar. And it's really, you know, so efficient. So that's great. You cover that in the DVDs as well.
We've got that. We take the same thing and we start using it as a forge. So we put some steel inside, and it's like 20 seconds later, we pull it out, and it's glowing bright orange. And then Ernie pounds it flat and puts a twist in it. It seems like, well, we go over a lot of the different tools that are used. We talk about different kinds of rocket stoves, not just the one that we're demonstrating, but a variety of different rocket stoves. We talk about the old Fox stoves, which is the predecessor to the rocket stove, where basically you dig a little something into the ground and do that. We also set up some examples of watching fire burn sideways. We had some glass, some wood stove glass. So it really shows the fire burning sideways well. Oh, and I should say that Bart, who is our video editor, put together some amazing animations to help folks understand how these things work. So, all right. So there, I've blathered on forever. That's the 4-DVD set that we did the Kickstarter for. The Kickstarter did amazing. We had 920 people wanting to be involved. And so the Kickstarter was a massive success. And now the DVDs are finally done and out. Yay! Get on with life.
And there's really nothing out there on the market like it. I mean, it's very comprehensive and, you know, a must-have, I would say.
My arrogance, I agree.
All right, there you go. So send Paul, if you can, or sign up today and order your videos, and you'll get them soon, if not immediately. If you go with the streaming, I would prefer a DVD. I don't know. What do you think, Paul?
Some people, originally we weren't going to offer streaming, and then a bunch of people made a very good case. They said, hello, we're into permaculture. What's with all this extra packaging when we have the ability for a lot of people, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people can get it through streaming? This is 2013, after all. And I thought, that's a good point.
So if they stream it, are they able to download it, or how does that work?
If they stream it, then they get it immediately,
yeah.
And they can watch it over and over and over again for years.
Okay.
We've had a couple people ask about, I want a downloadable version, and it's like, oh, wow, I don't think I can handle any more options right now.
Yeah.
So we've got the streaming all set up, and originally we had the streaming set up like 4 days ago. And about one person out of three was having problems with YouTube. So now we've moved all the streaming over to Vimeo. And now everything has been silky smooth. So we're all set up. That's all working great.
That's good to hear.
Whew. So with the DVDs, yes, you have physical DVDs. And yay. You know what? And I want to tell people, too. This is when we first took this video footage. It was with the idea that there was like 20 people, because the workshop sold out real fast. And there was a bunch of people that are like, no, I want to go. And they said, well, if you video it, we'll pay you for the DVDs. And so we thought there'd be like 20 people. So we kind of videoed it for like, you know, there you go. It gets it across. I was asked to not get in the way of the other workshop participants. Who were enjoying it. So we didn't film at all with the idea that it was going to be such a popular item. But then it just kind of, it was a little bizarre how popular it was during the Kickstarter. So I went back and saw Ernie and Eric and got extra footage later, because it's like, well, so many people are doing this that we should earn our keep here, make it a little bit better. But I want people to know it's a video of a workshop, and I've been told by Bart that I'm not allowed to hold the camera anymore.
Oh, okay.
you know, so whatever that. So you know, it kind of gives you an idea of the quality level. But it's a little bit like getting footage of Bigfoot. There are no other videos on Rocket Mess. Well, on YouTube, there's gobs. I've got like 20 videos on YouTube about rocket mass heater stuff. So people could go and watch this for free. It's just that this is extremely, I mean, this is the entire workshop. This is very comprehensive and complete.
Right.
You know, whereas all my YouTube videos are like, you know, let me show you, let me give you taste and let me convince you and stuff like that. And there's a bunch of other people that have YouTube videos on them too, but they're all, well, you know, it's like 100 YouTube videos. And not, whereas this is extremely comprehensive.
Right. So also on the richsoil.com article, there's links to design plans and other things that might help, you know, get your plan going. So
right.
Visit that. And that's by Ernie and Erica.
Yeah, Ernie and Erica are the leading innovators in rocket mass heater today, or stuff today. And the plans are, at this point in time, this is the best stuff that's available right now, are the plans they've put together. There is a book that helps to explain some of the stuff. The book is, I think, 8 or 9 years old. And we've come a long ways since the book. But the book does help to give you an idea of how this stuff works. It's just, you know, it's just kind of outdated. So the videos are now the latest and greatest, and you know, we're already talking about taking it up a notch from there too. I mean, this whole field is like evolving so fast. I mean, it used to be that you heated your home with 1/5 the wood, and now we're up to 1/10 the wood. And Ernie and Eric and I have been talking about, you know, the next gen, getting it up to 1/120 of the wood. So we're perpetually optimizing in this space.
Great. We're looking forward to that for sure. So I have a question on the combustion chamber. It's super insulated on the inside. The outward cylinder, how hot does that get?
So the outward cylinder, we refer to that as the bell.
All right.
It's oftentimes it's an actual barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen the bell be a lot of really pretty things, but usually it seems like most people are like totally fine with it being a barrel. It'll get over 1,000 degrees. I've seen it go over 1,000. I imagine that we can get it up to like a one spot in the middle on the top, we could probably get that to past 1,500, I think.
Ooh. So, wow, what about, my concern is like the children. So in that little cartoon at the very top, it shows the lady sitting down nicely on the bench and her foot against the base. And then up above, that bell, is that the part that's 1,000 degrees?
Yeah, and doesn't it have a tea kettle on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so children, beware. Wow.
Think of the children.
Well, where I live, we've got lots of little children that really don't care. You know, you don't know that the oven is hot until you touch it. Well, I would probably love to touch it. But
I think when I was there, one of the children offered me potato chips.
Wow!
Didn't you take a video of me and I was the kids were offering me potato chips and
probably
yeah. Anyway,
well, but. Yeah, they loved you for sure.
Because I'm amazing!
Yes.
And not as large as you.
But you're the amazing Paul.
So I think an important thing to say here, and this is one of the things that I say at the beginning of at least one of the videos, is to say you can burn yourself on a cook stove that's already in your home, on the oven. You can, if you have a conventional wood stove, you can burn yourself on that. You can burn yourself with hot water. I mean, you can burn yourself with matches and cigarettes, and people allow those in their home. And there's all kinds of ways that you can currently burn yourself in your home right now, and this is no different from that.
Yeah.
So, yes. Think of the children, and at some point in time, when you have your conventional wood stove burning in your home and children are running throughout the house, at some point in time, they're going to learn to not touch that.
Yeah.
And the same can be said for when you're cooking on your stove or when you're cooking with your oven and these kinds of things. Or even when you serve them hot food. Be careful. Don't touch that. It's hot. Right. And sometimes you forget to say that, and still we're going to expect them to, like, not touch that. It's hot.
Yeah. Well, just a question. I didn't realize it got that hot. That's really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
What about regulating the heat then? I mean, like, down here, if we had a 1,000-degree bell, I think I would freak out and, like, oh, my God, I need to go outside.
All right.
Now, in the snow, it's going to be awesome, obviously. Do you just put less wood? Or?
Well, okay. When you have an electric heater in your house,
yeah,
like just one of those little portable electric heaters, it's like, oh, it's a bit chilly here. I'm going to put this heater here. I'm going to plug it in. Turn it on.
Uh-huh.
The little coils inside turn orange, right?
Yes.
I mean, what is that? 2,500 degrees? 2,500 degrees! Think of the children! No, the key is that the barrel in the center on the top might get to be 1,500 degrees. Yeah, that's going to be really pushing it. Most rocket mass heaters, you might see it get up to 800 degrees in the center on the top of the barrel.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that the whole barrel is designed to radiate the heat. In fact, the whole thing to work correctly, you need to make sure that as the exhaust travels down the inside of the barrel and goes down, that it's rapidly cooling that exhaust. So at the top, on the outside of the barrel, facing people, it might be 500 degrees. And then you travel 6 inches down, and it might be 350.
Uh-huh.
And you travel 6 more inches down, and it might be 250. And then finally, when it starts getting into the bench, it's 200 degrees.
Uh-huh.
So it's like the sides are not as hot. And then which you called the combustion chamber, inside of that we might be seeing, in the past, rocket mass heaters would run and you would get a temperature of 1,200 to 1,500 degrees. With these new designs, we're seeing temperatures in excess of 3,000 degrees. And then at 3,000 degrees, we are burning the smoke even more completely than we've ever burned it before.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was amazed is, well, I know that, you know, at the exhaust end, there's steam and CO2. In the one video, it shows the gal, I think it's the second video, like, I don't want to say huffing the fumes, but, I mean, it's pretty darn close. I mean, she's literally has her nose. So it does burn pretty darn clean. I personally wouldn't be doing that, but...
Now, think about for a moment that if you were to use a conventional wood stove and we place this woman at the exhaust point, which is basically the chimney of the conventional wood stove, the difference that you would see is that all of the skin on the woman's face would instantly peel off.
It
would be blackened with the black smoke and soot that's coming out of it. And she would be screaming, not only in pain, but also coughing because it's full of smoke.
Right, yeah.
So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Now, one of the ways that we're so efficient is rather than putting all of our heat up the chimney, we're extracting all the heat out, and we're burning extremely clean. So in that video, what you see is it's totally, perfectly clear. You see the fire burning, and then we move the camera over to look at the woman. It's obviously 100% clear. There's not even heat wavy lines because we've extracted the heat. It's warm, but it's like, in fact, at one point in that same video, a guy holds his hand in there, and he's like, yeah, it feels like 70, you know? And she puts her face in it and breathes deep. I think she does it twice. She breathes it again because it's like, did I smell anything? So she says, I can smell smoke smell, but there's no smoke.
Well, she didn't even say she smelled smoke smell. She said, I smell something. But, you know, everyone, you got to go watch that just for, I mean, that alone is worth watching. That second video on the page there, I thought that was kind of fun.
These are incredibly clean. And you know, those branches that fall off the trees in your yard, they grow back year after year after year with no further effort.
Well, and I love what you're saying about the junk mail. I mean, just alone, a way to get rid of that, you know, and reuse it is a very good thing to do.
Well, and of course, we don't get as much junk mail as we used to, but you could subscribe to the paper. They desperately need your business. and now you've got another use for that paper. But I think that wood is probably better than paper, though. Right now, people are taking their twigs from their trees and they're putting them in the garbage.
Yeah.
You know, some people will put them into the green bin for composting and stuff like that. But, you know, when you take that stuff and you compost it, then you still have all that material go up into the atmosphere. I'm not sure if people are aware of that. What happens when you compost something? That's all that, 'cause that twig is almost pure carbon, and then it goes up in the atmosphere. Now, granted, when we burn it in a rocket mass heater, it's still turning into carbon and going into the atmosphere also, but we didn't have to pack it off someplace far away.
Right. Well, I'm going to mention this right now just because I read in your forums that I haven't said this on our show. If you're a guest and you're listening right now and you'd like to call in and ask questions, our number is 347-838-9986. And please only do that if we're live, which is right now. But if we're not live, skip it. All right, 347-838-9986. All right, so that being said, what else should we ask you about? Well, the cob style is really neat because you can fashion it in a way that's, you know, artistic pretty
cob is
cool.
Beautiful. Cob is so, there's so much you can do with it. There's so many beautiful things you can do with cob. It's just so slow.
Yeah. It's a lot of labor. You have to have the materials, you know, the clay, and, you know, not everyone has that. And I like the idea that, you know, you're going to come out with a way to do it that's easier and not so labor intensive.
And cob is going to be extremely permanent.
Yeah.
You know, if you put in a cob style thing in your home, it's going to really be there pretty much forever. And it's not like you can easily take it apart and move it and go somewhere else. I mean, it's going to take you a couple of days to build it. And I think it would probably take you a couple of days to unbuild it if you wanted to go that route. So if you're renting, not a real great one there. Possibly if your landlord will be into it or something. But yes, the aesthetic is amazing. And making the cob itself, mixing up the clay and the sand and maybe a little bit of the straw, it just takes a long time, but it sure is beautiful. And we found that I think a lot of people they look at the wood stuff and then they think, wow, I can see how that could be really beautiful. And then they look at the cob stuff and they're like, ooh, that's just, I don't think I could do that. But I think that after a while they change their minds and they're like, you know what? That cob is so much more beautiful. Yeah. And you could work in a lot of stonework and things like that. There's some
mosaics really, and different interesting things.
Yeah.
Now, for your wafatis that you're going to build or building, you plan on putting any of these in there? Or
the first one will have a rocket mass heater in it. We really want them to not do that because I kind of want to see how we get by without
it.
Without adding heat. How well do we do without adding heat? But it's beginning to look like my brother is going to live in it, through the winter, and his wife loves everything to be hot
right
in the winter. I think she should move to San Diego, where you are,
all right,
and be like right next to the beach a lot.
Yeah.
Or maybe someplace tropical, or maybe some desert in Australia or something.
And not near Missoula.
Yeah, it seems kind of odd, but this is what they do. And so when I visited them in the past, it's like, I think it's 100 degrees in here. And her position is like, yes, isn't it lovely?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll definitely be putting one in. During the workshop that's going on out here, we're going to put in three rocket mass heaters that are the box style with the pea gravel inside. And we're going to do one that is the cob style, and we're going to put it inside of a teepee. We have a teepee here already set up and ready to go, and we're going to put the cob style in there, and there'll be a bed platform as part of it, as well as a bench. And the idea is that come spring, and there's a couple that have already signed up to live in that teepee through the winter with the rocket mass heater. And the question to ask them come spring is, were you perfectly comfortable? Were you luxuriantly warm? You know, were you able to live inside while it's below freezing outside? Were you able to spend a day inside and be luxuriantly warm and not have to be, you know, bundled up? So in a teepee.
Right.
So that's the mission. So yeah, we're going to build a bunch of these. And, of course, we'll have these new cores here, and we're going to be testing those and see how they go.
Well, that's pretty darn exciting. You know, on your website, you mentioned you're looking for a kitchen commander, and I think you also mentioned it would be cool to have someone to take over this DVD business, you know, help fulfill the orders. And you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, for the DVD business, I think we've got that covered. I mean,
okay,
it's all
you do.
An automated thing kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But for Kitchen Commander, oh, yeah, we've had some people come, and they were great cooks, but they were like, oh, I want to come and help, and I get a week of vacation. So they come out, and they're here for like a week, and then they're gone. And so we're hoping to find somebody who wants to come and live here full time and get paid to be the kitchen commander. And every time I think of this position, I think of when I once lived in a community house, there was this tiny woman who told everybody how it's going to be. And she would give people instructions on how they're going to, you know, do this and do that. And I kind of think, boy, that's what we need. Somebody who's like not only going to make sure that, you know, food's on the table three times a day, but also going to make sure that people wash their own plate. And if we need some wild foods harvested, you there, you're going to go get some of this and some of that. And, you know, something like that. I really like the idea of that. So, yes, we're still in need of a kitchen commander here. We have all these people coming, and they'll come for like a week or two to help out on the farm, and then suddenly it's like, oh, what do we do for food? So we've managed to do okay, but it's like, boy, we really need somebody to help fill that gap, because it's of course the number one place where things start to break down in a community is when the food's involved. So
currently, what are the accommodations like for that person? What would they? They live at the base camp?
I would think so. We've got we're kind of thinking that, you know, once we hire somebody, then we'll kind of work with them to find out what they prefer. Mm-hmm. But we have a little red cabin here, and we're just thinking that, you know, whoever comes will probably stay in the little red cabin. But, you know, we can also probably build something else. That's part of it. It's like once we've got food here, then we have a lot more people here.
Right.
And then they're all, most of them are guys, you know, anxious to build things. And so we've got, you know, But that's the other thing, too, though, is that we're currently looking for, like, between now and the workshops in October, we're looking to hire a couple of people. And of course, all these positions are really terrible pay. But for a lot of people, it's like they you know.
It's a great opportunity. I mean, it's.
So far, everybody who's come out here hasn't gotten paid anything, and they'll come out for like 2 weeks, and because of all the interesting things that we do. But in this particular case, the kitchen commander is a paid position, and we're looking to hire a couple of people to come out and help build things, to get so that way we can make sure that everything that we need to have built is built before we get to the workshops in October.
Great. So hopefully if you're out there and you're looking for a great, interesting opportunity to get involved with permaculture and to be the kitchen commander and tell Paul Wheaton what to do in the kitchen.
Yeah. Good luck with that. We'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Well, you never know. You never know. If they're a good kitchen commander.
I think I'm pretty good in the kitchen. I wash my own plate. I always wash my own plate.
Well, that's nice. And I'm sure there's plenty to... stories that you tell during the meals and things.
And there's some of that. So, you know, maybe I get some license to get away with things. I'm not sure. We've got a Kickstarter. We're going to hopefully start up in the next day or two. Maybe as early as tomorrow. It's all been approved by Kickstarter. We just need to hit the big green button to make it go. If people are signed up on my daily-ish email, I will announce it there. I think if you go to permies.com, right at the top, you'll be able to see where you can sign up for the daily-ish email. I'm very excited about this, and I'm kind of thinking like, well, what can I say? What should I not say? I guess I'm going to say it's going to be a deck of playing cards that are amazingly beautiful, and each card is packed with permaculture information.
Cool.
And there's a card for polyculture. There's a card for Sepp Holzer. There's a card for rocket mass heaters. And they're just packed with detailed information on each card. I kind of feel like this is the way, because like, I think that there's a big problem, a big gap. And it's like there's people that are just obsessed with permaculture, and this is, it's such a different way to see the world and live your life that it's kind of like, how do I share this position with my family who simply thinks that I'm crazy? And it's like, you can give them a book, which they'll ignore. They might, you know, flip through and look at a couple of pages, but that's it. You can share with them links, which they'll ignore, stuff like that. So the idea was, is like, well, with the book, they were willing to flip through and look at a couple of pages. They'll look at the pictures real quick. And it's kind of like, let's take that path and go a little bit farther. So each of the images are, I think, rather provocative. The ideas that are presented in the cards are each provocative. So if a person kind of pause through them for 20 seconds, hopefully that will hit them with enough very provocative stuff that they'll stop and actually read it and look through it more carefully and closely, and thus be something that might make you look a little less crazy. So we're I've been working on this Kickstarter with Alexander Ojeda, one of my pod people, for over a year. It's like, each card is like hours of arguing over the tiniest details, and it's been going on and on and on. And so I'm just so excited that we're all done, and now is the time to start the Kickstarter.
That's great. That's awesome.
So if folks sign up for my daily-ish email, then that will be the place that I announce it. And so then the moment that it's ready, they can go and see that.
Sounds good. And I think you mentioned that you have a podcast on iTunes.
Right. Just like 10 minutes before, 15 minutes before we started recording here, today I got an email from my assistant, Adrian, and he's been working on this for about 6 months now, and he finally got it up. It's so this. I've got two podcasts. which are podcasts that have been for sale, and I've been selling them for $2.50 each. He now has them up on Amazon, where they're 99 cents each. And so these are the two podcasts with somebody that's in your neighborhood with Art Ludwig, and I felt that the content was extremely important, and that we talked about, in order to be able to innovate, and in order to be able to change things for the better, you may need to break the law. And so Art Ludwig, of course, is the expert in gray water systems. So he had to create gray water systems, which were not within the building codes, and prove that they worked and prove a variety of things. And then he dodged regulators and then eventually encountered legislators that wanted to understand this. And so the legislators came to his home and looked at it, and now Art Ludwig is writing the legislation for the state of California on gray water systems. So in order for him to do this, to get to the point where he is now, he had to break the law. He had to be in violation of the law. And so we talk in great depth about that, which effectively, is it not part of what Martin Luther King Jr. advocates?
All right. Really cool.
So these two podcasts are now available on, or at least one of them is, available on Amazon. And just moments ago got that happening. That's like, oh, good. It's a new thing. Let's see how that works.
All right. So let's see. Any other news going on? Oh, you're going to be a keynote speaker at the Permaculture Voices Conference in San Diego area next March.
True. And they've got an event coming up this Saturday.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's the Permaculture Voices Shout. And so it's got, I think there's five people that are doing this, and it's a webinar format, something I have very little experience in, but it does. I did one webinar one time, and I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this one's like. And I'm one of the speakers, and I all the speakers seemed like superstars. So off the top of my head, I remember Ben Falk was one. And Larry Santoyo, he's one of your local guys there.
Right.
Will be there. And so I was kind of thinking like, wow, this will be cool. I mean, do I get to visit with these guys? How does this work? And so I think I am I'm supposed to give the keynote that I gave down there that you probably saw. You were there, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
So I'm supposed to do that again for this event. So that'll be 2 hours of me yakking about 72 bricks, and that's this Saturday.
Yes, Saturday, August 10th, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And to get information about that, you go to permaculturevoices.com/shout, S-H-O-U-T. And there are three speakers, according to the website, Larry Santoyo, yourself, and Ben Falk. And it's 5 hours, but there'll be question and answers in between. So, and it's there is a slight charge of $3, but it's worth it. I mean, 5 hours sounds incredible. So I know I will be listening, and you never know. Maybe I'll call in, ask a question.
Ben Falk has a new book out, and I hear that his property is utterly amazing. And that the work he's doing is fantastic. And Larry Santoyo, I keep trying to meet him, but we keep like not meeting. And I've heard that he is an amazing guy. That he is a powerfully fun speaker. And so I'm looking forward to just see what he's like. I once saw an interview with him, but it seemed kind of like it was like, oh, when you're on NPR, do you speak at your full volume level or do you speak in whispers, you know? So I kind of thought it was like, oh, they've calmed him down and sedated. I've heard that he's an excellent speaker. Like he's full of character, charisma, and exciting. It's just fun to watch him speak. So I'm hoping that he'll cut loose, and we'll really get the feel for Larry Santoyo.
Wow, I mean, two powerhouses in the house. Woo. So we'll see who's the more dynamic of the two.
We'll make Ben Falk look like a sweet man.
Well, anyway. So anything else? How are your meat friends doing?
Oh, Farmstead Meatsmith. Well,
yeah.
they didn't get their Kickstarter, but they got, a big chunk. And so, but of course, with Kickstarter, you're either all or nothing. So they got nothing. But when we do our two Rocket Mass Heater workshops here in October, he's going to do a four-day workshop in between those two. So we're going to got two pigs that we're going to harvest, and we're going to use all of it. And and he's going to do charcuterie, food preservation. We're going to break the whole pig down as part of the class. And there's going to be all kinds of cookery and all kinds of things going on. And I'm really excited to be having him here and to do this. It sounds like there's a possibility that we will record a DVD, but, nothing's for sure yet. The big thing is that 10 people per day will be allowed to help break down the pig. So we'll actually participate and be part of the process. And we're allowed to have 30 observers. So, they won't have knives in hand, but they'll be able to watch what's going on.
And if you haven't seen their videos, on Paul's YouTube, he's got some awesome videos of the Meatsmith guys, and it's just incredible to see what they do. It's very compassionate, and, there's no waste. So, I'm all for it.
It's
really beautiful to see, really interesting videos.
Right. I think anybody who's been freaked out by those videos that are out there of, like, the big commercial icky places butchering animals, and they're like, oh, no, I can never eat meat again. Look at this video, and I suspect that a lot of vegans will see these and say, I would eat that meat. That meat is inside of my comfort zone for eating meat.
Now, are the pigs that are going to be harvested from your own... What do you call a group of pigs? Not a flock. Flock of pigs.
Sure. What the hell? Flock, a herd? I don't know. I don't know what a group. But I do know this. We've got the two pigs that are arriving any day now, and so we've got 2.5 months to fatten them up here. So of course we've only been here on this piece of land for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of getting caught up on a lot of different things and just getting started. And so, it's raw land. It's not designed for anything. Although we do have this other little tiny property that has this magnificent auditorium-sized shop, which is where all the workshops stuff will be, all the indoor stuff will be. So, so we've got that well facilitated. It's just that, we don't have a lot of facilities for animals just yet. We've got,
right.
Although we do currently have pigs on the land,
yeah.
and chickens and goats and cattle, because we're using temporary fencing, but we don't have a good exterior perimeter fence set up yet.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I mean, you've got so much going on, and if everyone, you could go to permies.com, look in the forums. It's incredible. There's pictures and stories and,
In fact, I want to just quick mention of my favorite thread where somebody posted a picture of a plant that looked kind of sad, and the first response was, pee on it.
Right.
And the second and third responses were the same, and then they posted a new picture of the plant, and it was healthy and green. But I think we've got gobs of threads at Permies that are the authoritative thread on a variety of topics.
Absolutely. Well, Paul Wheaton, once again, thank you so much. You're always a pleasure to talk to, lots of fun. And everyone, absolutely check out his 4-DVD set that's available. There's a link on this episode details. And visit permies.com on a regular basis. You'll learn a lot about permaculture and all things